Good morning and welcome to Inside the Huddle. Sam Wirt, Kyle Etherington here in studio for another episode of Inside the Huddle. We thank you for joining us. Inside the Huddle is brought to you by Winsky Brothers. You can listen like you are now here on the radio, WILO 96.9, 1570 AM and Boone 102.7 FM, online at the Clinton County Daily News app or on the Clinton County Daily News website or on the WILO app, or you can watch now online at HoosierlandTV.com, and we thank all our Hoosierland TV sponsors. Just go to HoosierlandTV.com, and you'll see the Inside the Huddle logo. Click on that, and you can see our lovely smiling faces here in studio this morning. Kyle is smiling towards the camera right now. So let's get straight to our first guest. We had a big game last night, the Corn Bowl County Rivalry. And Clinton Prairie came out with a victory 32-0. And our first guest is Clinton Central head coach Jeremy Fenley. Coach, how are you doing today?
Well, you know, I've been better. Well, you know, it's a tough thing, you know, to lose a football game. Sometimes it's even tougher when you look at your players and know that they did everything you asked of them, and you still come up short. Very disappointed in myself. Wish I could have coached a little better, but super proud of our team and the effort that they gave.
It was a slow start for the offense, a couple of turnovers early. What was the conversation with everybody to try to keep the football a little bit better? Because turnovers, I think, were probably the biggest problem for your squad last night.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, it's kind of control the controllables. We just tried to, you know, tell them to slow down, make sure they had a hold of the ball. You know, Prairie did a good job of creating takeaways last night. You know, that's, you know, one sign of a great defense is one that can generate takeaways for their offense. And, you know, kudos to Coach Slicker and Clinton Prairie. They were able to do that last night.
It's an 8-0 game at halftime. You guys got the ball coming out of the halftime break. What was the conversation in the locker room during halftime? And then what do you think was the biggest change in that game going into the second half? Because it seemed like you guys were able to move the ball really, really well in the first half, and then something's kind of switched where it was a lot tougher to get first downs in that second half.
Well, so again, you know, we were having some success, but just wasn't quite able to close it out in the first half. So I was really trying to figure out a way to do something. So I went to Coach Douglas, and we had kind of talked. And I think I tried to do too much outside of what we normally do on the offense. We lost the ball one time under center. I don't think Coach Douglas wanted to go under center. I was just trying to think of ways to put Prairie in a situation to where they had to think more about what we were going to do, and I think that ended up being causing trouble for our boys as well, to where they couldn't quite execute as efficiently as we had in the past.
And Coach, one thing that especially that we started talking about last night, we were talking about the nerves of the big game and everything like that. When it comes to the first half, play them to an 8-0 first half, really do with, you know, with the exception of that one touchdown, really had them shut out offensively. What were some of the things that you saw from the defense last night, especially in that first half, that really kept you through and kept you through all the way that first part of the game?
Well, you know, that first drive, Elijah Gunderson hits a really good loop blitz, creates the takeaway. You know, so then, you know, that kind of shows your defense that, hey, we can play with these guys. We are capable of stopping them. You know, and then at that point, it just becomes a battle of attrition. You know, unfortunately, I think either the next play or right after, we had a reciprocal turnover, so the defense was back on the field. You condition, but you can't fully prepare for the violence of action you get in a game and how much pounding and what a toll it takes on your body. And some of those younger guys just, you know, as in most games, we're able to kind of get a good rotation, get some younger guys in there, get some of our ones an opportunity to get a break, and we weren't quite able to do that last night. And I think as the game wore on, unfortunately, I think that was part of it. Just my lack of having them fully prepared and conditioned for the game of attrition, I think is what really cost us there towards the end.
Talking with Clinton Central head coach Jeremy Finley after their game against Clinton Prairie last night, Kyle.
Well, now, Coach, not to belabor any points or anything like that, looking ahead, we know that life in the Hoosier Heartland Conference is definitely a war of attrition. Coming up the next two games, actually the next three ball games for that matter, only one of which is at home, and the next two ball games on the road. You got Sheridan, and then the next week you're at Taylor. Kind of talk about the task before you and the task that the young men have before them as well, in terms of not just getting their bodies rested and recuperated, but as well as they can for this next coming Friday night, because it'll be here before we know it.
Yeah, I mean, but that's the case every weekend. And I mean, you know, I talked to the boys last night, told them to put this Prairie game behind us. We've got another objective next week. You know, that's the good thing about this game, right, is you always have a Friday during the season until you don't. So we know we got a guaranteed six more, so let's put it in every week and, you know, talk to the coaches. I tasked all the coaches and challenged all of them to sit down and watch film this week, and that's from my youth coaches up. I wanted them to go and watch film and find a few things where we can improve. As a coaching staff, from scheme to execution, personnel. Look, in order for us to get to where we want to go, it's going to be a collaborative effort between the coaches and the players, and I think everybody's up for the job. I still stand by the statement that we're not the same old Clinton Central, that we will find a way to rise above this, and our boys know that, and they know I've got their back.
Last year, it was kind of the same start to the season. You guys started 2-0, wins against Frankfurt, wins against Faith Christian, and you came into that Clinton Prairie game, and it was kind of a heartbreaking loss because you guys led most of that game a season ago, and Clinton Prairie was able to score late and kind of take that victory from you guys. This time, you guys kind of take a punch, but how do you recover from this? And what is, you've talked about the difference between, you know, previous Clinton Central teams and this team. What does your team have to do to respond differently than maybe they did last year?
Well, I need the team to continue doing what they're doing. What I need is myself and the coaches to put this on our shoulders and lead them to where they need to go. Our boys will do exactly what we want them to do. They will execute what we teach them to execute. What we need to do as coaches, we just need to lace it up and go in on Monday and prepare these young men just like we do every week and get ready for a young, hungry Sheridan team.
And one thing when it comes to Sheridan, they've got a brand new coach this year, the first year in many decades, not under Bud Wright. What is by now the secret might have gotten out on what type of offense, what type of defense the guy likes to run. What do you know about him so far, other than just player personnel wise?
Well, I coached with Jake. I know his dad really well. Coached his younger brother, Luke. You guys remember I spent a couple years coaching at Sheridan. So, great football family. He's a young, hungry coach, played at Trine. You know, so he is going to have that team prepared. Make no mistake about it. Yeah, his name's not Bud Wright, but he's going to create his own legacy at Sheridan in his own right. I have nothing but respect for them, as I do for Coach Slicker. But at the end of the day, when it comes Friday, it's, you know, you shake hands, but then it's, It's 48 minutes of war.
One thing in particular when it comes to war, how are you able to kind of motivate the kids to go out there and not exactly hurt the other team, but at the same time still go out there and hurt them mentally a little bit, I guess is kind of the fine line that I think a lot of coaches oftentimes have not difficulty in dealing with, but you always have to think about it a little bit. How do you kind of make sure that you're focusing on the important fundamentals and the important values, but at the same time, you know, you give them one of those win one for the Gipper type speeches?
Well, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, you know, a coach can only lead players so far, and then they've got to pick up the mantle and carry it across the line. You know, and our boys do a great job of that, right? Like, we try to inspire and motivate. You know, Coach Douglas is a classic motivator. He's been motivating young men since the early 1990s, to include myself. At the end of the day, words are just words. But your team has to feel that you truly care about them and that your motivation comes from a place of love and dedication to them and their success. You know, one of the most disappointing things is when you come off the battlefield and you look in the young men's eyes and you see that they just gave you 48 minutes of everything they had and you still come up short. You know, it's hard to motivate that. You know, it's hard to encourage that. Sometimes the best motivation is just allow them to go through the hurt and then allow that to change them. Hurt changes people. And eventually you suffer enough hurt, you're tired of taking it, and you start returning it.
And I feel like it's moments like these in a season when you kind of take a punch where you have to lean on your big guys and you have to lean on your leaders. And so I feel like that's a conversation that you're probably having with guys like Creed Menon, Amron Barrett, Jordan Wolfe this morning is – we're going to have to lean on you guys to be big leaders this week in practice and going in through the rest of the season. So what are the conversations you're having with those young gentlemen this morning?
Well, you know, and it's we told those guys from the get-up, you know, our seniors are going to lead us to where we're going to end up and whatever success and whatever that success looks like. And they've rose to the occasion. You know, you mentioned Amron and Creed and Jordan. You know, we've got Elijah Gunderson, you know, an unsung hero that is pretty much like our Swiss Army knife this year is Levi Jacobs. That young man comes to battle every day, you know, and, you know, we still have those young guys, Colin Mooneyhan, John Dill, Braylon Kreider, you know, Caleb Robinson is phenomenal at the tight end who can come in and play our two back. And, you know, we got Caleb Griffey who's playing phenomenal sophomore at middle linebacker. Blaine Gill. I mean, we have a whole host of talented. We got Keaton and Kyson Allball, Luke Shelley. You know, all those guys want to win just as bad as the next guy and extremely coachable. We have set a culture. I guess to answer your question, there isn't a whole lot of conversation to be had because we all know what the task is. You know, we look at each other. You know, I told them last night that my lack of preparation and getting them prepared will not happen again. Like, we have got to start, I have to start doing better as a coach and make sure I put them in positions and not overcoach. Sometimes my biggest flaw is I feel like I got to create change for the sake of creating change, and that ends up causing more chaos than it does benefits.
This has been Clinton Central head coach Jeremy Fenley. Coach, we really appreciate you coming on. Good luck to you guys against Sheridan next week. That game will be available on HoosierlandTV.com with our partnership with Bragg Sports Media. So fans wanting to watch the Clinton Central game can watch it on HoosierlandTV.com. Coach, thanks for coming on, and good luck next week.
Thank you. I appreciate you guys, and thanks for all you do for us.
Head coach Jeremy Fenley with Clinton Central. That does it for quarter number one of Inside the Huddle. We'll be right back with quarter number two coming up.
You know, at Winsky Brothers, we don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take our customers seriously. Whether you're hauling scrap metal, shopping for new or used steel, or need one of our roll-off waste containers, we're here to help. Sure, we're kind of famous for that giant 70-foot truck scale, but what really matters is you, our community. I'm Jim Byers, and we're grateful for your trust, your business, and even your jokes when you stop by. From all of us at Winsky Brothers, thank you. Find us at 751 West Washington Street or online at winskybrothers.com.
WILO, a friend you can depend on.
Thanks to WILO for being out here. I think it's been great for Party Line, for the fair to be highlighted on Party Line so people understand, you know, our mission, our goals out here at the fairground.
Keeping you connected to our community.
The radio station, we could not do this without all of you guys.
The radio station you've trusted through the years.
Congratulate you guys on a great senior fair. Thank you for all the hard work that everybody put into that to make that happen.
Every Tuesday and Thursday morning, right after Party Line, WILO and Boone 102.7 bring you a moment of pure positivity. It's the pet of the day. In partnership with the Clinton County Humane Society, we shine the spotlight on adoptable dogs and cats just waiting to meet their new best friend. Maybe that's you. You'll hear their names, their stories, and what makes each one special. Whether they're playful pups, curious kittens, or wise old souls, these shelter residents are ready for a forever home. So tune in, fall in love, and help spread the word. Because sometimes, the right tail wag or gentle purr is just a broadcast away. That's Pet of the Day, every Tuesday and Thursday. Only on WILO and Boone 102.7, where every animal has their moment to shine. Brought to you by Wampler Services Incorporated, Encompass Credit Union, Travelers Point Distillery, Aaron's Flooring, and Blue Fox Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. Proud supporter of Second Chances and Furry Friends.
Back now on Inside the Huddle, quarter number two. Inside the Huddle brought to you by Winsky Brothers and also available to watch on HoosierlandTV.com. Thanks to our wonderful Hoosierland TV sponsors. Check out HoosierlandTV.com. Check out the sponsors on the homepage. And if you missed last night's Corn Bowl, you can go back and watch that. And if you want to watch next week's Bacon Bowl, you can do that on HoosierlandTV.com. Delphi taking on Carroll. And we're now going to catch up with Carroll head coach Blake Betzner, who Carroll won 48-21 over Taylor last night. And Taylor led it 14-0 early. And Coach, your Cougars were able to outscore Taylor the rest of the way, 48-7. What did you see from your team last night?
Yeah, it's going back to the, in my opinion, you know, picking up McConaughey week two, it shows dividends now. We are in a battle week two, and it's kind of like Groundhog's Day here at home. With the last home game we had, you know, Pioneer took it to us, and I look up, we're down 14-0, and I'm just thinking, all right, you know, how are we going to respond? What's this team going to be like? What's their personality? You know, things didn't go well for us in the first quarter, and we haven't had many of those. We just, you know, McConaughey didn't have a good first quarter. You know, Caston, we didn't have a good first quarter. So how are they going to respond? And they, you know, each of those games they responded and played pretty well. So we were just interested to see how they respond, and they, you know, they arose to the occasion and really settled down and played well. So I was really proud of them after, you know, that first kind of slow start we had.
And kind of similar to what you saw last year in the Pioneer game, it was an electric player on the other side that you had to go against in Titans, Javion Harris. So he scored the first couple of touchdowns. What was the conversation with maybe the defense settling in against a guy like that?
Oh, you know, if you haven't seen him play, he's you can't prepare for him. You know, not at our level. He's just he's a different level athlete that just can do so many things. On film, he almost looks like he's in slow motion, but then he runs by everybody. Because I think he's so tall that his legs don't move real fast. Like, you know, little guys, their legs are flying, and they look like they're really quick. But he doesn't look real quick, but when he gets the edge, not only is he really fast and quick, but he's a man, and he's a big guy. So we had some trouble getting him down, and it was a great experience for our kids to – you know, okay, here it is. This is what you guys got to do. And if you can't get it done, it's going to get real ugly. So I think they just settled down and understood. I think the speed was just different for them there for about a quarter and a half. And then they settled down and was able to play. You know, they did a really good job they spread you out, and then they try to pick on, you know, we got some young kids, and, you know, everybody, you know, we've kind of said that. We're starting three sophomores on defense, and, you know, they tried to figure out where those guys were going to be in different sets, and they found some things. And I just went up to those sophomores and said, hey, we're not doing anything. You know, it's kind of funny because a year ago we changed our offensive line, and Avery Dyer became our center, and he fumbled three times in the first half, you know, the fumble snap. He blames the quarterback, but, you know.
But every good lineman does.
That's right. You know, I coach offensive line. It's never our fault.
No, absolutely not, no.
But I went up to him last year, and I said, we're not taking you out. Like, you're going to have to figure it out, or we're going to give you, like, 40 points. So, and that's the same thing I went up to those young guys last night. Like, we don't have anybody else to put in. You know, we're not changing you out. So you're gonna have to figure it out. And they really, you know, arose to the occasion and they got better. And I'm, you know, really proud of those guys that they didn't put their heads down. They just kept battling, and they, you know, they put them in some bad positions by just making plays that, you know, they probably weren't expecting them to make.
And there's something to be said about that kind of mentality where, you know. Obviously, we're not going out there trying to make mistakes, but, you know, if you do make a mistake, it's not the quick, all right, you're out, and someone else is going in. You have that trust of your coach, and that allows you to play a little bit more freely and go out there and make some plays that maybe you wouldn't take the risk on making if you knew that your job was on the line every time you went out there. So something to be said about that and the freedom that your guys can play with when they have that mentality.
Absolutely. We tell our kids, every one of them, at the very beginning of the year, you're not a finished product. You know, at the end of the year, you're not a finished product, but you got to get better on every play, every snap. And we just hit that really hard because you can't be the same player. Not, you know, 1 through, you know, 25 that we put on the field. If you're the same player week 1 as you are week 9, we didn't do our job as coaches. So we just keep, you know, challenging them, you know, explaining to them what they need to do better. And you can just see it week after week and then, you know, easing into their positions and getting better. And, you know, by week 8 or 9, they become really good football players. And they kind of know that. They just kind of trust the process.
And when it comes to the process, we're definitely going to see it on full display this upcoming week against the other team in Carroll County, if I could steal a phrase from people from Carroll High School right now, no disrespect to Delphi. But we saw last year in a game that was nip and tuck the entire way, and for a great majority of the game, it was kind of in doubt as far as who was going to emerge the victor. Are you expecting that type of game again, or are you hoping to possibly build on that momentum against Taylor and get off to a better start in the first quarter?
Yeah, you could throw everything out the window against Delphi. I know Jacob, and he's going to have them ready. They're going to be ready to play us. We've been able to hold on the skillet since I've been here, and I know there's nothing better they'd rather have than that skillet back in their home. And, you know, we're both wing T teams, and he kind of traded on us here. I opened up the film, and he's all spread. So I was like, what the heck? I'm going to have to talk to him. You know, he's giving up on the wing T stuff. You know, we see enough spread teams. I put a McConaughey in there as a spread team, so we could see another one for Eastern and Taylor. I didn't think Delphi would be a spread team, but they've got a little bit different mentality this year offensively, and they can throw the ball around. Quarterback's good, he can run. So and the kids know each other so well, so you can just throw everything out, and it's going to be a lot of fun. It's kind of going to be like last night was the most electric this place has ever been. It was insane. It was crazy. I mean, there was people everywhere. Taylor brought a lot of people, and, you know, that's just, I keep going back to, you know, that's our jobs are to give these young men the best experience they possibly can in high school and let them see everything. And, you know, our community does such a good job of doing that. So I know when the Bacon Bowl comes over, you know, we start doing some Bacon Bowl prep of, okay, what do we need to do? How do we need to start this? So it's just fun to give those kids an opportunity, you know, both schools, an opportunity to go play in front of the whole county and just see what happens.
And one thing that a lot of schools have been noticing around the area is that the weather has gotten colder, meaning it's more football season. Sam is... Yep. In his Denver Bronco finest, I'm here in my Colts finest. But we also know that with football weather comes the sniffles, the cough, and the sneezing. Yep. What are some of the things that you've kind of told your players to be aware of in terms of staying healthy. Stay away from the kid who sneezes. I mean, are you, you know, is it like drink a bunch of orange juice, like my family always said, or is it other remedies that maybe the entire world has never heard of about?
No, we just we stress taking care of your body. You know, drink, you know, eat good foods, get plenty of sleep, you know, drink plenty of water. So we stress that all the time. They know that, you know, we get three or four sick and aren't able to do some stuff that really affects us. So yeah, we just we preach that all the time. Just take care of your bodies. And you got the hand, foot, and mouth stuff going around now, and our kids go over and shake hands with the, which is really cool. They started that this year. We have, you know, about 6-7 kids in the morning on Friday mornings when the elementary gets off the bus. They shake hands with them. They get to know all the little kids. I think it's a pretty cool thing. But after that, we make sure they wash their hands and and you know, don't bring any of that back with us. So, but no, I think every athlete, you know, that should be a top concern, is how you're taking care of your body every week.
And the hand, foot, and mouth disease is kind of becoming a thing. Kind of talk about that a little bit more, just because it
asking him to be a doctor, not
well,
a football
well, not
coach.
Not being a doctor or anything, but it's been a while since that has been kind of a thing that football teams have been dealing with. Typically, we're talking about concussions and, you know, twisted ankles and, you know, bum knees, stuff like that. Has that just kind of exploded onto the scene? Has it always been there? And, you know, how do you feel about it, doctor?
Yeah, well, a few years ago, MRSA came. You know, I mean, it's probably been, I don't know, you know, the years kind of run together. But about 15 years ago, MRSA was a big thing of, you know, that going around. And then obviously, we've all had the opportunity and the ability to deal with COVID. So we've kind of become experts on how to try to, you know, keep our kids away from things and keep things clean in the locker room. So, you know, I guess one positive thing COVID did was allow us to have all the abilities to make sure our stuff stays clean, our kids stay healthy.
Hey, I appreciate it. And you didn't even ask for my copay. I appreciate that the most out of anything. So I appreciate that.
Again, talking with head coach Blake Betzner of the Carroll Cougars, who won 48-21 over Taylor last night. And shifting the conversation from a very scientific and medical to the science of the wing T. Let's talk about your offense this year and what you've seen. We've talked a lot about just the growth that you've seen from Cale Peters, and you guys have been able to lean on Aiden Wiles and Emery Deaton. What did you see from that squad last night? Because they scored in bunches last night after trailing by 14. So how did your offense respond last night?
Yeah, scoring 48 is really nice, but after watching the film last night, I wasn't real happy with how we played up front again. So we'll be watching some film and dealing with some things. We're just not – our angles aren't very good. You know, we're not getting on people real well. So I'll be sending out a message to our old linemen or tight end to you know, get with me on the film and make sure they watch the film, because, you know, when we do things the right way, we're pretty good. When we don't do things the right way, it ends bad every time. So they need to watch themselves. And I've asked them, you know, as coaches, you work really hard to re-look at yourself. I was really mad in our first half that, you know, I wanted to make some adjustments, but I told myself I'm not making an adjustment in the second quarter, because if I do, then they have halftime to try to figure that out. So we just tried to hang on that first half and then make some adjustments so they couldn't, you know, have 20 minutes to change those adjustments. So, and, you know, so we all look at ourselves and figure out what, hey, we didn't do that real well. We got to figure out how to fix that. So we're having some heart-to-hearts with some of our O-line guys, and we got to get better. We got to get better up front. And if we don't win the line of scrimmage, and we didn't win the line of scrimmage the first quarter, if we don't win the line of scrimmage, we're not winning any games. So just trying to beat that home over and over again.
Well, we're excited to join you guys for the Bacon Bowl next week against Delphi. It's going to be the Hoosierland TV Game of the Week. We're really looking forward to covering that one. Coach, we appreciate all you do, and we appreciate you coming on here this morning and talking a little football.
Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend.
That's head coach Blake Betzner with the Carroll Cougars. Again, we'll have that Carroll Cougar versus Delphi Oracle game for you next Friday on Hoosierland TV. Kyle and Isaac will have the call in that one. We'll be right back with quarter number three of Inside the Huddle coming up.
Did you know the Man of Steel works in Frankfurt?
Superman?
No, Jim Byers from Winsky Brothers. Winsky's is famous for their new and used steel sales and scrap metal processing. They also offer roll-off waste removal and now they're continuing their improvements with new computer software to have you in and out faster than Superman can fly.
Faster than Superman?
See for yourself at 751 West Washington Street or visit WinskyBrothers.com.
Winsky Brothers, the superheroes of steel.
The news team you depend on has expanded our news coverage area online. Log on to the new BooneCountyDailyNews.com. Find the latest from Lebanon, Zionsville, and all throughout Boone County. BooneCountyDailyNews.com for the latest weather, sports, and news information with WILO.
Our Bill of Rights, the Constitution, the Gettysburg Address, President Lincoln's Bixby Letter, links to all 63 national parks, Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech, a Norman Rockwell tribute, state mottos for all 50 states, and much more. Hi, I'm Russ Casper, President and CEO of Casper Media. I encourage you to check out American Treasures on BooneCountyDailyNews.com and ClintonCountyDailyNews.com. Look for American Treasures tab at the top of your free local online daily news site. Go to Clinton County Daily News or Boone County Daily News and rediscover our precious, enduring American treasures. Our world-famous Bill of Rights tops the list. We even include some pretty cool videos. American Treasures, let me know what you think.
If you have any suggestions to add to our American Treasures collection, please reach out to Russ Casper of Casper Media at frontdesk@casperradio.com.
Here's the WILO Skywatch weather forecast.
Your Saturday forecast, mostly sunny and breezy with a high of 69. Tonight it's going to be partly cloudy with a low of 44. Sunday, sunny and a high of 69. Monday, sunny and a high of 71. Tuesday begins the warm-up, sunny and a high of 77. That's your Skywatch weather forecast from WILO, real-time weather radar, 24/7 at Boone, Clinton, and Carroll County, DailyNews.com.
Back now, quarter number three of Inside the Huddle. Inside the Huddle brought to you by Winsky Brothers. Sam Wirt, Kyle Etherington here in studio for quarter number three. Make sure to stay tuned. We'll give our college football pick later on in the show. We're 1-1 right now. I got the pick right last week with Ohio State, so we'll get to our picks.
Thanks,
a little
Arch. No,
get to our picks a little later in the show. But if you miss any part of today's show, you can re-listen to it during the Inside the Huddle replay back here on WILO Sundays at 7 o'clock. Yeah, or you could go online, go to ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, click on the local sports, and you'll see the Inside the Huddle tab. And you go to Inside the Huddle. All of our latest episodes are up on ClintonCountyDailyNews.com for you to listen to. Or a really easy way that I like to do it is if you have Spotify, the Inside the Huddle is available as a podcast on Spotify. If you're driving in your car, you just want to put your phone up or plug your phone in and listen to on Spotify, you can do that as well. So a bunch of different ways to listen, and you can watch on Hoosierland TV, and all our episodes are archived on HoosierlandTV.com. So plenty of ways to listen and watch to Inside the Huddle. And let's get to our next guest here in quarter number three. Our next guest is Frankfort football coach Justin Kinsey. Coach, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing better than I deserve. Thank you for having me on.
Coach, you got MAC play started last night with a big matchup at home against Greencastle. You guys fell in that one 49-8. What did you see from your team last night?
Yeah, you know, again, just, you know, we've had kind of the bug going around our campus, so we were down a starting D lineman, one of our starting X's and corners, so we were down a couple of bodies. But again, you know, we got to watch a lot of young guys step up and, you know, and play. And I still think, you know, obviously we're still in the middle of this major, major rebuild. But I love seeing the positivity. I love seeing the fact, you know, it was one of those games that could have very easily turned into a 70, 80-point shellacking. And, you know, our guys, they buckled down and they battled for 48 minutes. And, you know, you love to see that kind of grit. You know, and obviously, you know, every week we're getting better. Every week the fundamentals are getting better. You know, it's a process, and I'm excited to see the way that the guys are sticking together as a team.
If I had a quarter for every single time we talked about, you know, sickness and health and medical stuff on Inside the Huddle this morning, I'd have two quarters, which isn't a lot, but it's weird that it happened twice, right? So let's talk about what you saw from your offense. You guys are learning this new system, switching over from what they've run the last few years, and it's taking time to learn this, and every week you guys are getting a little bit better at this system. So what did you see from your team last night and the offense?
Yeah, so, you know, we got our senior quarterback, Kiefer Dooley. We lost him in the second series against Clinton Central week one. He was technically cleared last week, but we didn't want to rush him back. We wanted to make sure that he had a chance to really make sure that he was good to go. So we got him back last night, and, you know, he's been the guy that we have been using all summer, like you said, learning a brand new offense. So Dennis Barkley has been doing a great job, but it was not 50-50 over the course of the summer. So when Dooley went down, you know, Dennis was kind of cast into a spot where, you know, we were pretty limited. Obviously, you know, learning the option, you know, people are kind of catching on that we're kind of a marriage of wing T and the flex bone. So we kind of were stuck with a little bit more of our wing T stuff. But obviously getting Dooley back now, we're getting the ability to get more of that option stuff in. Made a couple of changes on the offensive line, not because anybody was doing anything wrong, but just because we thought we were a little bit better having Dom Hoskins, who was our center, going to guard, having him pulling and kind of being the guy that we're, you know, creating a wall with. I think, you know, slowly but surely we're kind of finding the right pieces. But getting Kiefer Dooley back is going to be a big piece of that, just because he's the guy that all summer long, you know, even going to, you know, the summer camp and the three-night overnight camp, he's the guy that was running the offense. So that kind of makes us a little bit more multidimensional. Plus, we actually completed multiple passes last night, which was kind of nice. So
that might be a first in your history, right?
Hey, I'm not saying I'm a candidate for an air raid certification off of last night's game alone, but yeah, it was nice to be able to kind of get the ball out in space.
And your team was able to get it into the end zone. After getting blank the first couple of weeks, it had to feel nice to see that offense get into the end zone. And it kind of takes the monkey off your back. Okay, we know we're a good offense. We know that we can score points. But finally, we're able to get into the end zone. How did that feel last night?
Yeah, it felt great. And I think, too, you know, even going through the numbers, you know, we were talking with the team this morning even. You know, when we were running our plays, you can see, you know, we run a play and it's a, you know, 4-yard gain, which of course doesn't sound exciting, but 4+4+4 is the first down. And, you know, we, you know, our big thing, our efficiency rating, we're aiming for 3 yards because 3+3+3 is 4th and 1, and Coach Kinsey's going for it on 4th and 1. But, you know, going through our play calls last night, even, I mean, we were banging out 4, 5, 6 yards per carry, and then we would have, you know, a bad mesh or a bad snap or our quarterback would turn the wrong way. It's just some of those mistakes, and a lot of it's not skill or technique mistakes, it's just rep mistakes. You know, we're making mistakes because, you know, we've got a fullback and a quarterback who haven't taken snaps together in 2 weeks. And then we're basically, you know, giving them back 4 yards. Okay, great. Now, you know, we're looking at a 3rd and 8 instead of a 3rd and 2, and, you know, that's a completely different situation for us as play callers, you know, going from 3rd and 8 to 3rd and 2 to 3rd and 8. But I do think that, you know, the guys, even coming off the field, you know, the guys were saying, like, man, when we run this, it works. Like, we have to stop shooting ourselves in the foot. And like you kind of alluded to there, you know, learning a new offense, obviously, it's, you know, it's one thing if we're, you know, running, you know, inside zone, outside zone, or spread. It's like something that's kind of an iteration of the system that they already know. I mean, this is completely new for the program, and it takes some time. You know, I mean, I think even to my good friend Coach Thacker up at Wallasee, you know, his first year at Wallasee, you know, there's some times that, you know, I'm sure he was stressing out thinking, oh my God, what am I doing? And now all of a sudden, you know, hey, Wallasee's rolling, man. That offense works. You know, Warsaw, their first year running the triple option, that defense kept them alive. Now all of a sudden they're a powerhouse. Nobody wants to play against Warsaw. It takes time to learn this system. And again, you know, these guys aren't exactly sitting at home with their dads watching, you know, Navy football. Everybody sees the ball getting slung around, you know, when they're playing their Madden or their college football on PS5. You know, not a lot of teams are running the triple. They're all running the spread. So it's going to take time for our guys to learn stuff. And we know that. And the guys know that.
And one thing when it comes to coaches' philosophy and different offenses like that you like to run and everything, how much have you tailored kind of your philosophy? You said you actually threw the ball last night, which, you know, when we came into our meetings at the start of the year, I was told that there was no chance in certain locations and a snowball, something that would actually happen. So how have you kind of tailored your philosophy to match the personnel that you got? But also, how have you kind of tailored it to kind of match the Maddens and the NCAA college football games that make it so exciting for the kids?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, too, you know, especially the way we talk about it now, you know, even if you look at the NFL and you look on Sunday, you know, spread, quote unquote, I'm calling in so you can't see me doing the air quotes, but the spread offense used to be, you know, 2x2 with guys lined up wide and they're running meshes and slants. If you look now, a lot of teams, even in the NFL, you know, the Niners are one of the first teams that pop up in mind. You know, they're starting with all 11 of their guys tight to the formation, and they're creating space to the outside. And so what we're trying to do is we tailor this offense. Obviously, everybody knows we're trying to live between, you know, between the tackles. So if we can get guys to commit to defending the run, that's going to open us up on those arrows and those outs and those, you know, sort of the, you know, I mean, really high percentage passes. So we're not asking, you know, we're not asking our quarterbacks and our receivers to be connecting 35-yard bombs downfield. But, you know, if I can hit that tight end on a little 4-yard arrow, and, you know, even if it's just a 4-yard catch, hey, that's 4 yards is a positive play for us. And I know, you know, if from where I've been in the past, you know, I would say I usually average 10 to 15 pass attempts per game. But I just know, I mean, especially with us going into, you know, having Dooley out, having Barkley put in that situation, he has not thrown a lot in the summer. So he, you know, a lot of it was just he has no timing with his receivers, if you will. And so we were asking him to do a lot of underneath stuff. You know, so obviously getting Dooley back now, he has that timing with a lot of those receivers. And I think we saw it last night. He was able to kind of get the ball out pretty quickly to some of those guys. And it's just, it's exciting to have that element back. And I think it's also exciting because people forget, as you know, Dennis did a great job for us at quarterback for the last 2 weeks. Dennis also happens to be probably our best linebacker. And, you know, I'm not exactly excited about my starting quarterback also playing Mike linebacker at the 4A level. So having Dooley back at quarterback allows me to get Dennis back there at linebacker and get more involved in the defensive game and in the run game, because he's a really tough runner. So again, like you said, we're able to tailor what we're doing to what we have. You know, I can use Dennis to kind of bang out some tough yards. You know, he's got the heart of a fullback. He might not be the size of a fullback. He's got the heart of a fullback. You know, he'll hit some of that tough yardage. And again, you know, having the ability to kind of replicate what a lot of teams are doing, where we're gonna create that space. We're just gonna create that space to the edge versus, you know, going downfield, you know, chucking the, you know, 35 yard corner route or seam route.
And I will say, talking with head coach Justin Kinsey from Frankfurt, I will say I did run one season of the triple option in my college football dynasty, and I didn't do too hot. So maybe I needed to come and take a class from you and see if I can improve on that. And maybe I can take my Ball State Cardinals in my dynasty to a national championship. But
I wanted to hear it.
There we go. I wanted to just give you an opportunity. You've probably heard a lot and seen a lot. You know, people want to see Frankfurt get back to where they were in the past and get back to this winning culture that we've seen at Frankfurt in the past. But we've talked about this, and we know this, that it's going to take time to get there from where you guys are right now. And you've struggled a lot in the youth for the past few seasons and rebuilding that. And so just kind of talk about the process it takes to get back to that level and get back to where ultimately you want to be.
Yeah, and I think it really all starts with, I know, you know, obviously, you know, I am a toxically positive, optimistic guy. You know, I'm the guy that I'm going to find in the middle of a bad game, in the middle of a bad night. I'm going to try to find as many positives as I can. You know, doing the same thing with the youth, doing the same things with our young guys. I mean, even for us to be in the middle of a rebuilding season like this, you know, every week that goes by, we just, you know, I mean, we just added a new two new freshmen just came out to start working out with the team. We added a manager, for God's sake. You know what I mean? We're still attracting bodies, which is nice. You know, our middle school, we've got a lot of excitement at the middle school level. We just lost to Greencastle this week, so our middle school team is 2-1. You know, again, just, you know, Rich Kelly in town does a great job with the youth league. Him and I have a great relationship. It is just, you know, we can see that, you know, the people know that it's going to be a process, right? There's nobody in town that's more impatient about that than I am. I mean, there's nobody that wants to win more than me. I promise you that. But I think, too, that, you know, we understand that we have to give the community something to cheer about more than just the wins and the losses. I think that, you know, they can see that we're doing things the right way. You know, 3 weeks in a row, even last night, the officials coming off the field, you know, were very complimentary of our young guys. You know, it's football. It gets a little chippy. Our guys did a great job of, you know, walking away and, you know, finding somebody wearing blue to talk to. Our sideline has been great. It really has been. You know, we want to give the community something to cheer about, you know, that, you know, hey, we might not be, you know, in Lucas Oil in November, but, you know, the community can feel good rooting for these guys because they see that these are a group of young men who are going to be battling for 48 minutes. They're going to represent the community in the right way. They're building towards something positive. And you know, and I think that, again, I'm doing everything I can to promote this program out in the community, you know, get these kids feeling good about themselves, even to the point of, you know, having a team photographer so that these guys have good pictures of themselves to put up on Instagram and stuff. You know, there's so many pieces to it that, you know, I don't know that there's a button I can switch or a personnel that I can switch that all of a sudden is going to have us, you know, putting up. You know, I saw like Miles McLaughlin from Knox had 792 yards or something last night. I don't know that there's a single adjustment I can make that's going to have me rushing for 792 next week. But, you know, if we can build that foundation, you know, if we can pour the concrete, we can get the frame put together, you know, that's going to be now I'm going to be able to start picking out the drapes and, you know, picking out the flooring and doing all that stuff in the future. And I think that the community is excited because I think that they see that, and this isn't just me, this is the whole school. I think that they can see that the athletic department's, you know, heading in the right direction, the school corporation, there's a lot of really exciting things happening in our hallways from an academic standpoint. You know, even us, you know, having the this dual credit thing that we have now through Reckon. I mean, there's so many positive things happening in Frankfort that, you know, even as we're, you know, battling to rebuild this thing, I think that the community has a lot of things to be excited about. It is, you know, in spite of everything, it's a really, really good time to be a hot dog, and it's exciting for the people in the community for sure.
This has been head coach Justin Kinsey with the Frankfort Hot Dogs. Coach, we really appreciate you coming on Inside the Huddle this morning.
I appreciate you guys having me. Go Hot Dogs.
We'll be right back with quarter number four. You're listening to Inside the Huddle, brought to you by Winsky Brothers.
Whoever said size doesn't matter hasn't been to Winsky Brothers. Hi, this is Jim Byers from Winsky Brothers inviting you to check out our new 70-foot truck scale. That's right, 70 feet. It's practically a landmark, making it easier than ever for you to get in, get out, and be on your way. Why? Because customer service isn't just words. It's 70 feet of promise. Check it out for yourself at 751 West Washington Street in Frankfort or visit WinskyBrothers.com. Winsky Brothers, because size definitely matters.
Ag News, the Farmer Forum, the free-for-all, and a lot more. Hi, everyone. I'm AgriTalk host Chip Flory. Join me each weekday morning at 11 right here on WILO for a conversation dedicated to rural America and agriculture. AgriTalk brings you the news, information, and perspectives you need to get to the meat of the issues that matter the most to your farm. Join me for AgriTalk weekdays at 11 on your Ag Leader in North Central Indiana, WILO.
Hailstorms can cause widespread damage to one's home. After these storms, dishonest contractors show up hoping to make a quick buck from your insurance claim. They'll promise anything if they can get you to sign a contract, collect your payment in advance, and ultimately do no work at all. Avoid being the victim of contractor fraud. Get estimates from at least three contractors. Check references, and remember, if you didn't request it, reject it.
To report fraud, call us at 1-800-TELL-NICB. This is a public service message from the National Insurance Crime Bureau.
Back now, quarter number four of Inside the Huddle. Sam Wirt, Kyle Etherington, been recapping local high school football from last night. We talked with Clinton Central head coach Jeremy Fenley. We talked with Carroll head coach Blake Betzter, and now just Frankfort head coach Justin Kinsey. We're now in studio with Clinton Prairie head coach Kurt Schlicker after the Gophers got it done last night in the Corn Bowl, winning 32-0, a shutout victory for Clinton Prairie. Coach, how are you doing today?
Hey, we're doing great. You know, it was a big win for our kids last night. Anytime you go on the road and you're able to shut an opponent out, you know, that says a lot about your players. And also credit goes to our assistant coaches, our defensive guys, you know, had a really good game plan last night. So obviously we're thrilled to be able to come through these back-to-back weeks, right, and get these victories. And I can't say enough about the heart of our kids, right? We battled last night, right? They really challenged us early in the game, and we were able to come up with some plays. And then the second half, I thought our run game was a big difference.
And the defense just seemed to be ball hawking all night. They wanted that football, and they got it out several times. Let's talk about the first play on defense for you guys. You guys start with the football, getting the opening kickoff, and you get a couple of first downs, and then they get a sack and a fumble, and then the very next play your defense gives up a nice run, but is able to punch it out late at the end and stop them from getting into the end zone and get the football back. What'd you see from your defense?
Well, you know, after week one, right, turnovers hurt us in week one against Frontier. There's no question. So it's been an emphasis in practice, trying to create turnovers. And, you know, so we do a lot of drills in practice each week from whether, you know, you're punching the ball out from, you know, different angles and from behind. And, you know, last night, you know, our kids were aware of that, right? If you really work on something, I think you should improve, and I think we did. And, you know, certainly those were big plays in the games last night, right? The turnovers that they had, I'm sure, you know, they feel like if they hadn't turned the ball over, the game would have been a different score, and it most likely would have been. But, you know, turnovers are a part of the game, and, you know, we did turn it over, right, our first series there. We gave them great field position right off the bat. So our defense responded immediately. That sudden change you know, moments in the game. And, you know, we made several key plays on defense last night, right? And to get a shutout, you have to. And, you know, that's what I told the kids. You know, when we needed to, we made the plays last night.
And I think maybe the biggest series of the game and a chance for Clinton Central to tie things up when you had taken the lead 8-0 is the goal line stand that we were talking about a lot last night. I mean, first and goal from, I think, the 7-yard line, and they get all the way down to the 1 with a couple of shots from the 1-yard line, and your defense is able to come up with a stand and turn them over on downs. Just what did you see during that series, and what was the message to the team?
Well, you know, they got it down to the 1. We took a timeout there, and, you know, we just tried to, you know, keep everybody composed, right? You one play at a time. Try not to think about where the ball is, although you have to be aware, right? So that's part of the strategy there, right? You can't give them a yard. So this is not 1st and 10, right? It's 3rd and goal. And Hunter Cooper makes a great play. But, you know, key there is, you know, we were able to build a wall. And then Hunter got him from behind, put him in 4th and goal. So, you know, I thought our kids last night, right, we talked before the game that it was going to be a punch, counterpunch kind of game. And that we would have to respond to anything negative that would happen. Because they're a very talented team. And have some really fine skill players. So we knew that, you know, there's going to be times where their kids just make plays. But when we needed it last night, right, our kids rose to the occasion, and we had some really, really key plays on defense. There was a couple big ones. You know, when we did fumble, Hunter Cooper makes a great play to tackle the man. They could have scooped and scored there. And then, mm-hmm. You know, Kai Jacobs later in the first half there, right, catching the man from behind. You know, he punched the ball out, which is an amazing play, and the ball bounced right back too. But that's what I'm talking about. Like, we've been working on creating those turnovers. So, you know, certainly we were able to make those plays, and that's what you have to do, right? You go on the road, you're going to have to make some key plays, and I thought our kids did last night.
And, Coach, I've got to ask about punching in practice. Mm-hmm. And we're now on Hoosierland TV streaming, so we got the visuals. First of all, how do you practice punching the ball out? What type of drills do you do for that? Do you just run up to each other and just nail each other as hard as you possibly can? I mean, you know, how exactly does it work? And then secondly, what is the appropriate way to punch a ball out and not punch yourself in the face or punch somebody else in the face?
Yeah, we do it a couple different ways, right? We do the from behind drill, right, where we'll have a ball carrier and we'll either punch it or we'll rip it over the top. I think everybody does those. And this year we've incorporated, too, with dummies and rollers, right? We'll attach a ball to a roller And as we go tackle the rollers, which I think everybody does, right, we have a ball in there. So as the kid comes in, right, they have to have their head up and, you know, they're conscious of where that ball is. And, you know, we try to punch it out. So we do that with dummies, too. So, you know, we attach balls to dummies. And obviously you got to make the tackle first, right, the most important thing. And I still we tackled pretty well last night. But, you know, watching the film, I still think we need to tackle a little better in spots. But, you know, we do drills like that. And then, you know, obviously you want to you talk about whether it's a scoop and score or it's a fall on it. So sometimes the ball bounces right to you. You know, you're thinking scoop and score. But if the ball, depending on the situation, you need to dive on it. So those are things that we, you know, we address. Coach Tom Potts and Lance Pickerell do a nice job of setting up those dummies with balls in them. Coach Troy Clark does it with their DBs. Excuse me. And so, yeah, it is something that we incorporate each and every week into practice. And, you know, we talked last night when we got home. We still think we need to tackle more in practice. You know, it's just you don't like to tackle live bodies in the modern era. It seems like when we played back in the day, right, we just tackle the heck out of each other. But, you know, you don't want to injure each other in practice. So, you know, thank goodness for the different dummies that they have today and the different devices. But it definitely is something, right? We were always conscious of it. You go in there. And, you know, you saw that in our first game. One of the biggest plays going back to our first game, and I'm not picking on any of our kids, right? They score. And we return a kickoff, and we fumble right away, and then they scored, right? We went from 0-0 in that game. We were down, you know, 15-0 in 25 seconds. And, you know, it was all because they were able to punch the ball out on us. And so we emphasized that going forward. Like, look, we need to be the team, you know, that creates these turnovers. So last night it worked for us. And, you know, we were fortunate the ball was there and we were able to get on it, right? Sometimes you create a fumble and the other team falls on it. So, you know, you can call that lady luck. You know, we think more of just we were opportunistic last night.
Well, there were at least four or five people opportunistic because I vividly remember you forced the quarterback to pitch it back to the running back off balance. And not only did someone hit the running back, you had two or three guys landing on the ball. Is that just down to timing, getting off the line? Is that just sending the entire blitzkrieg, if you will, towards them? I mean, kind of, you know, how do you vary when to send them and when to not send them like that?
You know, I mean, last night, they were a difficult team to blitz last night because you anytime you blitz a team that's as talented as Central, right, you run the risk if you're wrong, you're going to give up a gap over here. So really the credit goes to the players, right? We want to work downhill on defense. And when the ball's on the ground, right, that's like, you know how, if you got a pack of dogs and you throw something out there, right, they're scavenging for it. So that's kind of the way we are. We've got to be aggressive. We actually had a fumble last week in the Frankfurt game that we recovered, and they didn't give it to us. And I was very upset at our player because he fell on it, but he didn't immediately, you know, we're like, boom, you fall on the ball. You need to show the referee right now that baby's ours. You know, he just kind of laid on it, and then he didn't really, and then he handed it to the official. I'm like, no. So, we, you know, on the film, like, boom, you recover that thing, right? We're getting it, right? We're showing the referee that baby's ours. So, you know, last night I thought our kids did a nice job. And we put some pressure on the quarterback when we needed to and forced him into a couple tough situations. And they did the same to us, right? They had a couple sacks. You know, early in the game, we've got a man wide open down the field, but they sacked us. So, you know, that's always one of those things where I'm sure they're looking at the film this morning thinking, man, if we could have blocked better, they may have had somebody. But credit goes to the kids on that, 100%.
I thought I noticed a couple players run over to the sidelines with the ball and hand it off to somebody. So I believe Jarbo was at least one of them who did that and everything. So
well, it was emphasized, trust me. That, you know, I mean, I'm just saying, like, it's one of those things. Yeah. Like, why would you fall on it and then not be, like, excited? Like, there should be. Because really, you know, defense is, you know, obviously you're trying to get a three and out and you're trying to get them off the field. But, you know, when you can create turnovers, you know, that turnover margin, right, you just look at it as the season goes on in any league matters so much. And, you know, to win that turnover, but that's always the unknown of any football game, right? You can, you know, two teams are playing and they're pretty equal. The turnovers that you just don't expect or know, you've got to win those battles, right, if you can. And last night we were fortunate to do that. And
what a nice young man handing the football off to his coach. Hey, he said,
you know. And it helps us, too, as broadcasters, because sometimes we can't tell when the ball comes out. And so when they all start jumping up, hey, it's our ball, helps us as broadcasters so they can keep on.
Well, hopefully you're going to see more of that as the season goes on. Right? We hope to create a few more.
There we go. I think we talk about skill players so much because there's the guys with the football. Those are the guys scoring the touchdowns. But, man, I got to talk about that offensive line because it seemed like Hunter Cooper was getting 8 or 9 yards downfield without being touched. So let's talk about what you saw from the offensive line last night, creating some gaps, creating some holes for the running game, and then still pass protecting too for Brady Allen and Gage Kuzmix.
Yeah, our offensive line is, you know, it's new this year, as most people's is. So a couple of returners there. I mean, we've been very pleased with the progression of our kids, I guess I should say. You know, we're not where we want to be yet. You know, we watched the film last night. Gosh darn, we're still not quite, you know, blocking like we need to, or we're not sustaining, or we get our shoulders turned, or we're not sticking on the double long enough, you know. But those are things, you know, the kids are working hard on those things. Certainly Hunter Cooper runs the ball like a freight train at times. I mean, he does. He runs hard, and he's able to create some space right there. But, you know, I thought a couple things, too. You talk about our O-line. We pointed out to our kids, we ran some of those, you know, quick passes outside. I thought our blocking on the perimeter last night was very good, too. Kai Jacobs, Braden Jarbo, Alex King, you know, blocking for each other out there, you know, in space makes a big difference too. And you know, we've been able to run the ball the last couple of weeks, right? And good teams generally have balance. Not always, you know, if you can line up and just run over somebody, why ever pass? And, you know, there's a lot of high school teams that don't pass much because they can run over you. But, you know, for us, we like a balance. And I think the balance has helped us right now. Our quarterbacks were pretty accurate last night. We were able to play catch when we needed to. And I think that's also helped our run game. And, you know, our offensive line is improving. That's what I'll say right now. And you know, for us going forward this year, they're going to have to continue to improve.
And I want to talk a little bit about Kai Jacobs because, man, he has been on a tear through the first couple of games, caught a couple of really nice passes last night. And I think defenses are starting to kind of key in on that, and that's opening up the pass game for some other guys. But, I mean, through heading into last night, he was averaging over 113 yards a game, and he had four touchdowns on the year. So just talk about the switch for him because, I mean, he's just an athlete. He can play pretty much any sport he wants to, but he played quarterback for you last year, plays on the defense, and this year he switches over to wide receiver, and it seems like it's been a seamless transition.
Well, he has played receiver for us in the past, and he's a very unselfish kid, right? There would be a lot of seniors like him that would want to be the quarterback, and if he was our quarterback, he would be an outstanding quarterback. But he is that's just the kind of kid he is. He's unselfish. Whatever we need, right? We've used him at quarterback some, as you've watched, and we'll probably continue to do that. You know, there's just a lot of things that he can do with the ball. And he did draw some attention last night. And, you know, I didn't think I did a good enough job maybe putting him in position to get the ball. But when he gets it right, he is a dangerous weapon. And, you know, I look at Kai like this. He didn't get to play in these games last year. You know, he didn't play in the Corn Bowl last year because he got hurt mm-hmm. in Frankfurt. So all these upcoming games, right, he should have played as a junior. He didn't get to play last year. So, you know, we're just excited that he's healthy right now. We're excited he decided to play football. You know, and really our whole senior class right now, you know, we've been very pleased with them. Kyson Abingas had a great season. Braden Jarbo's having a great season. Brody Atkins didn't. He had some health issues last year. He's come in and done a really nice job for us at center. Andrew Thatcher's been a 3-year starter for us. Obviously, Hunter Cooper is playing very well right now. So hopefully I didn't leave anybody out. Journey Post is kicking for us right now. So, you know, with Rios' injury, you know, I told the kids last night, you know, we win that trophy. When we win this game, right, we're going to go get that trophy and we're going to give it to Rios because he didn't get to play in that game last night. So, you know, it's a nice group of kids, and they've been good leaders for us. And certainly Kai is at the top of the list there.
Yeah, absolutely. You got some. We saw some really nice plays from your squad last night, including from Kai Jacobs, and I thought Braden Jarbo played a really nice game. Talk about this two quarterback system though, just a little bit. Brady Allen and Gage Kuzmix, because sometimes it's one quarterback takes a series, sometimes it's flipping off play by play, but both very, very talented, but both have different skill sets. Gage Kuzmix can run the ball. We saw him do a couple of quarterback sneaks. He got into the end zone with one of them, where Brady Allen, he's got a cannon for an arm. He can throw it pretty much anywhere on the field. So what has it been like through this offseason? Because you got into that a little bit last year. I'm sure going into last season, you didn't think you were going to play two quarterbacks all season, but now you had an offseason to kind of plan this. What has that been like for you guys?
Well, I thought they both have been playing very well. You know, we're blessed to have, you know, I've coached some years where you don't have any quarterbacks. Honestly, we have three quarterbacks. So, you know, there's really not, and I always tell people this, there's really not, you know, we don't go in saying we're going to give this series to Gage or Brady. You know, we're just kind of letting it flow. Both kids, I got to compliment both boys, are incredibly unselfish again. And, you know, that's what makes great teams when you have unselfish kids, right? They want to win. And they're not necessarily worried about stats, right? So I don't know the quarterback stats. If we compare them, my guess is they're pretty close. They both probably throwing for about the same amount of yards. So they're both doing a great job. Obviously, Gage made a couple really nice plays last night, able to scramble and get outside. And, you know, the one touchdown to Trenton Kaser, he makes a really nice catch. But that's a heck of a throw by Gage on the run. And Gage also plays some defense for us. And he's a really solid outside linebacker. But Brady as a senior, right, has experience. He understands the game. And that's a nice thing, too, is that they're easy to communicate with. And, you know, if I say, you know, you go again, the other one just steps back. You know, there's no real complaining. And, you know, moving forward, we'll see. There's not – excuse me again. There's not really a plan, meaning that, you know, I'm not saying that we're – you know, the plan is to play them both again next week, and we'll just go from there. And really, we're blessed to have that. It's not a problem. It's a good thing. And that's the way the players have accepted it. And I think their teammates have done so as well.
Well, as we get ready to wrap up, just wanted to bring up one more play from last night's game. And these are probably my favorite types of plays in football. It's the two-point conversion where you go super unbalanced and have the offensive line up way on the other side of the field. And you have one guy as the center and a couple guys behind him, and those are always fun plays to run. So when you say, all right, Braden Jarbo, you're a running back, but a running back, wide receiver, you can do a little bit of everything, but you're going to go snap the ball. I'm sure that's exciting for him, but you guys set up a really nice play and we're able to complete a two-point conversion.
Sorry.
That's how good it was. You know? Sam, you got to quit complimenting people, man.
But what I will tell you is this. Part of the reason we put it in is because a couple teams that we play use it, and it is difficult to defend. If you must have the skilled players to do it. If you don't have guys that can do it in space. So like you said, Jarbo is capable of snapping the ball. Well, a lot of skilled kids can't snap the ball. Obviously, Kai's got some speed. And, you know, so there's different variations you can do. I'm coughing again.
You're good.
But, you know, we practice those things each and every week because we don't kick. So we do put a lot of emphasis on our two-point plays. We always tell – we've told our team from the start, we score a touchdown, we're not done. We don't celebrate till after the two-point play because, really, those two-point plays, they made a big difference last night even. You know, even if they score there at the end of the first half, you can ask the kids in the huddle. One of the things I said to them was, like, look, if they do punch it in here, right, we get a two-point stop, we're still going to have the lead at halftime because that's how important those two-point plays are. So, you know, give our kids credit on those. And I would like to give a shout-out today, too. We finally got the ball. I say finally. We got the ball to Alex King last night a little bit. We hadn't done that much in the first two games, and I think Alex showed what he can do with the ball. He had a really nice game for us last night as well.
Yeah, big shout out to Alex King. He's just becoming a Corn Bowl guy. He made a big catch in last year's Corn Bowl, and he had a couple of really nice plays in the Corn Bowl last night. 32-0 victory for you guys. Coach Schlicker, appreciate you coming on here.
Hey, guys, again, thanks for all the coverage, and hopefully I'll tell our fans out there, as of now, you know, we don't have a game next Friday, but I can promise you we're doing everything we can, and if we do play, it will be a home game next week.
There we go. There's all the information for Clinton Prairie fans. If you missed any part of today's episode, you can rewatch it or re-listen to it in plenty of different ways. Just go to ClintonCountyDailyNews.com, go to Hoosierland TV, or on Spotify. And before we wrap up, of course, Kyle and I are going to do a college football pick. Right now, 1-1. Kyle got it right week one, and I was right on my Ohio State pick last
Thanks,
week.
Thanks, Archie.
This week's game, Oklahoma versus Michigan. And, Kyle, I'll let you take the first pick.
Oh, my goodness. Really? You got to make me take the pick? I'm going to go with Oklahoma. I'm Ohio State best friend, and my in-laws used to live in Oklahoma. They were Boomer Sooner all the way. So I'm going to go with Oklahoma this week.
This is the first on Inside the Huddle, but I agree with you.
Oh, no.
I'm also going Oklahoma.
I'll take Michigan.
No, we can both go Oklahoma.
No, I'll go Oklahoma.
So I like John Mateer in this matchup at home. So we're both going to go Oklahoma in that matchup, and who knows, we'll probably both be wrong.
You use facts. I use friends and family. So,
exactly.
You know, different ways to get to the same destination, right?
That'll do it for this episode of Inside the Huddle. We thank you for joining us. For Kyle Etherington, Sam Wirt, saying so long, everybody.